The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Hey guys, really quickly, Daniel Dopp here. Before we get into the DFS podcast that Mike Clay and I are going to kick off for week one, we want to talk about the breaking news of Antonio Brown. Raiders coach John Gruden says Brown will play Monday versus the Broncos. Obviously, when we recorded the podcast earlier today, we were not sure. There were still rumors that he was going to be suspended by the team. So this is going to change some things. Mike, now that you know for a fact that Antonio Brown is going to be playing against the Broncos per John Gruden, where is it that you have him ranked for week one?
I have him ranked as a fringe top 10 option, just as I would have before all this happened. So he should be in your lineups. You drafted him in round two, most likely. You put him in your lineup this week. They're not going to activate him if he's going to be limited. And why would you do that? You're not going to. What are you going to do? Like, second, I put a J.J. Nelson out there instead of Antonio freaking Brown. If you have him, fire him up this week.
It is as simple as that. Antonio Brown out on the field on Monday, assuming something doesn't happen between now and then.
It's possible.
We'll keep our fingers crossed.
Keep an eye on his feet.
but I am excited to be able to say, Antonio Brown, you can use him for your fantasy lineups in week one. Super stoked for that. All right, now let's get to what everyone's coming here for.
You're in the whole 6-0-1-0.
Hey everybody, welcome in to the Fantasy Focus DFS podcast,
week one.
I am Secret Squirrel Daniel Dopp, joined by Mike Clay. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. I'm pumped up. We're going to do some DFS this season. We got all the nerdy stats and all the advice you need to dominate in daily fantasy this season. So I'm looking forward to it.
All the good stuff. I love to hear that. All right, so here's the deal. We're going to do a couple really quick logistical things just because we know that this Fantasy Focus is a season-long podcast.
Yes.
And so for those of you who have already played DFS, for those of you who already understand how it works, go ahead and just skip ahead like 3 to 4 minutes because we're just going to give a really quick brief overview of the DFS games for those of our listeners that want to be able just to dip their toe in the DFS waters, kind of have some fun with the daily fantasy thing. So we're going to get into some stuff here really quickly. Mike, talk to me about daily fantasy. There's basically two different types of games you can play. There's cash games and there's tournament games. Help me understand the difference between the two.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you go over to DraftKings.com, for example, you're going to have a bunch of different options. Some of them are tournament settings where you're playing against a massive field of people. So you may have heard of the Millionaire Maker.
Yep.
We have Al Zeidenfeld, who works for us here at ESPN. We'll have him on the pod throughout the season. He has won the Millionaire Maker, and he will tell you, you have to be a little bold with those lineups, right? You can't just pick the chalky players, the super obvious guys. You need to do some stacks, and we'll obviously get into that throughout the shows. This season, you need to be a little bolder, whereas cash games are 50-50s, they're head-to-heads, where you just need to beat the guy sitting next to you, for example, or you need to beat half the field. You can be more conservative, use high-floor guys, and that's how you dominate in that sort of format. So, again, two kind of different angles. You'll hear us mention tournaments. You'll hear us mention, hey, he'd be a good cash game play. Again, those guys more higher floor for cash games 50-50s.
Sure. The tournament plays, a lot of times you're looking for that guy that is like huge upside but also could give you 1.2 fantasy points. But if he hits and very few other people are going to roster that player, all of a sudden you've got, you know, a massive share of, here's 22 points from a guy that almost nobody else is going to roster, and that's going to give you a leg up because a lot of people in those tournaments roster the same kinds of guys. So you're always looking for something to sort of set you apart from everyone else within your lineups.
Yeah, no doubt. Think of a cash game like a Mohamed Sanu or a Julian Edelman, and think of a tournament like Deshaun Jackson or Will Fuller, right?
It's
kind of the different style players, the guys that can win you a week. And again, a lot of what we talk about will apply to season long. So whether you play season long, DFS tournaments, cash games, dynasty, whatever it is, like, we're going to be talking about player value, what their matchup looks like, that kind of thing, even though we'll be throwing in some DraftKings dollar values. There's a lot I think we're going to pack into these things.
Totally. So we're going to focus primarily on DraftKings as that platform, just to be able to make it easy on everybody. DraftKings, just for example, with their scoring setting in their lineup. DraftKings, you start one quarterback, two running backs, three wide receivers, a tight end, a flex, and a defense. There are no kickers in this game.
Woo!
Which is how it should be.
Yes.
It is a full point PPR game. Everything else is fairly standard, where it's decimal scoring for everything, so they do that. And then they have 3-point bonuses for 300-yard passing games, 100-yard rushing games and 100-yard receiving games. So those are things also to take into account. You know, if you have a guy that gets you 100 yards, here's an extra 3 points on top of what you're doing. So just a thing to keep in mind as a part of it, you know, when you're constructing your lineup. The other thing really quickly from a logistics point of view is we're going to talk about the DraftKings main slate. And sort of in the DFS world, like the slate is sort of the matchup of games that you're going to be playing within that week. So the DraftKings main slate, which is what the Millionaire Maker is, where you can potentially win $1 million,
exactly,
is the Sunday 1 p.m. games and 4 p.m. games.
Right.
So you're only choosing players from those specific games. No Sunday night football, no Monday night football, no Thursday night, nothing like that.
Yeah, no Thursday because we would have to go back in time. That would actually be convenient, though, if we could use the Thursday game.
In theory, you probably just wouldn't play anyone from this Thursday game.
Yeah, maybe Valdez Scantling in a cash game or something.
Sure.
That's about it. Jimmy Graham scored a touchdown. Yeah. But you're right. No Thursday, no Sunday night football.
Yep.
Because, I mean, we don't want Sunday night football in that contest because you want to celebrate your $1 million win after the 4
p.m. Exactly.
You got to go partying when you win this thing. You don't want to be waiting, sweating through the Sunday night. And then if you're on the East Coast, you got to go to bed.
So. Yeah.
Yeah,
I love
it. Well, 1-4 is our slate. Again, that is the main slate of DraftKings. So that's what we're going to cater to.
Okay. So last thing really quickly before we start talking about some players, like Mike said, this is a lot of what we're going to give you here is going to be able to, you could use a lot of these statistics and the ideas from this in season long. So even if DFS is not necessarily your thing, there's going to be a lot of really good information here. But on the website, ESPN.com/fantasy, there is a new NFL DFS picks for your week one lineup. Mike, you spent the entire offseason trying to make this little tool to help people be able to just make better decisions when it comes to either DraftKings or FanDuel for setting their DFS lineups.
Yeah, a lot of technical stuff goes on in the offseason. And then one of the things this year I was doing behind the scenes was building this very tedious spreadsheet. A lot goes into it behind the scenes to get it just right, but it's pretty cool. So you'll see when you get there the best values for the week, and they're based on our projections compared to the values over at DraftKings. Of course, we'll update it every week. I think Tuesday we're going to put it up, and then we'll update it a couple times during the week for news. For example, we took out Antonio Brown. We might have to add Antonio Brown back
sure.
in. We'll see how the news drops this weekend. And then, of course, it goes position by position. It'll show you great values, good values, average, bad values, guys to maybe stay away from this season. We'll talk about a few of the top in every category here on the show.
Dope. Okay. If you want to follow Mike Clay on Twitter for any of this DFS stuff or to ask him questions, if you have questions about cash games, tournament games, any of this kind of stuff, at Mike Clay NFL, I am at Daniel Dopp on Twitter. Also, we have Thirsty Kyle sitting at the board helping us out here.
Yeah.
At Kyle Soppy ESPN, is that correct?
That's right, yeah. Appreciate that.
So, by the way, we're going to go, you know, today we're going to go through position by position the best values. We'll talk about some guys to avoid. And at the end, we're going to set some lineups. We're going to go head-to-head every week, Daniel Dopp.
Yes, we are. You
it's
and
gonna
I.
be a showdown.
Not only you and I as a showdown, but also we're going to open up a tournament that we will send a link out on our Twitter pages so that you, the listener, can come play against Mike and I.
Yeah.
Head to head.
Yeah, and this is what we're taping this early afternoon on Friday, so we'll put it out this evening. So,
yep.
You know, you have some time if you're listening to it later in the day, maybe you're on our late commute. We'll drop the links on our Twitter feeds tonight. You guys could join us. See who wins.
Love it. All right, enough talk. Mike, let's talk some football.
All right, let's do it.
All right. General advice on quarterbacks. Before we talk specific players, general advice for DFS on when you're choosing a quarterback for one of these slates, how is it that you go about specifically finding good value and approaching that position?
Well, earlier in the show, I said that you can apply a lot of thinking in DFS to season long and vice versa. You said it too because you weren't listening to me, so you said the exact same thing I did. But anyway, you can do that. I'm keeping you on your toes.
I know you said it. I was reiterating exactly what you said.
Yes,
I was driving the point home.
All right, fair enough. Anyway. I say that because, you know, a lot of times it's a viable strategy to wait a quarterback in your drafts and stream, or if you're in a shallower league, you can pick up guys off waivers each week. You can do that in DFS as well. You can find guys with great matchups who have a discounted price. And a guy that really stands out this week in that category is one of the best overall values, I think, in DFS. And that is Dak Prescott, of course, the Cowboys quarterback. He comes in at 5,900, Daniel. I have him scoring almost 23 points. He's at home and he's playing the Giants. You know, this is a guy who has been very solid fantasy, we'll say, since he's been in the league. He's been a top 11 fantasy quarterback every year, believe it or not. He adds rushing production. That's where that high floor comes from. They got better in the offseason. He gets Travis Frederick back. They add Randall Cobb in the slot. You have Michael Gallup in year two, a full season of Amari Cooper. Zeke, of course, is back. This offense is set up for success. And then they're facing this Giants defense that was bottom 10 in the league in points allowed last season. That was with Landon Collins and Olivier Vernon. They're both gone. This defense is a mess. Dak, when these teams played in week 17 last year, 387 yards and four touchdowns.
Wow.
He lit them up. That was, again, their most recent meeting. Also, the Giants last year gave up the fourth most carries and seventh most rushing yards to quarterbacks. And of course, you know, we know Dak adds value with his leg. So I think he's a guy, a great guy to lead with because I think he's a terrific value.
And so one of the things to be able just, it's a sort of a baseline. It's not necessarily a hard and fast rule, but especially in DFS, you're hoping to get 3 points for every $1,000 per player. So if a player is worth $3,000, the expectation is they will score 9 points for you. Mm-hmm. 3,000 times 3 is by the time that you figure it out. So 5,900, Dak is right now projected to score just under 18 points based on the value here on DraftKings.
That would be his expected
point total. Yes, his expected point total. You have him at 22.6, so that's why he's such a great value here.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, you can do that math on this side if you want, but you don't need to, really.
You don't need
to.
That's why we're doing the
work
for you.
We're doing the work for you. So yeah, these guys that are going to show up as good and great values would be above that threshold, essentially, and vice versa.
Yep.
So, you know, as we'll get to later, a few guys who maybe come short of that number and are bad plays.
All right, so there's another guy that you really love, near and dear to your heart, and it's Carson Wentz taking on the Redskins this week.
Yeah, and if you were going to call me biased, I mean, I led with a Cowboy.
I know. You're right.
You can't call me biased, all right? But we are going to pivot to the Eagles here. I think Carson Wentz is the other terrific start at the quarterback position this week. He's 5,700. He is playing at home against Washington. Look, Wentz, actually, if you look at his three career home games against the Redskins, averaging 296 yards and has seven passing touchdowns in those three games. He has done some serious damage. He's positioned great for some big-time production here in week one. He's fully healthy from that ACL. Remember how good this offense was a couple of years ago when he was not unhealthy as he was last season. Also, the Redskins, we know last season they really struggled against opposing quarterbacks, top 10 in yards per attempt, completion percentage, and, of course, rushing attempts, which is an area where I think Wentz will bounce back a bit this year. He didn't do a lot of that last year. While he was hurt, same cornerbacks. Washington's bringing back the same cornerbacks. Josh Norman's pretty good. Otherwise, a little bit suspect. Landon Collins, they add, but he's more of a box safety. So I think Wentz can pick apart this secondary setup for a nice day.
I'm so excited to see Carson Wentz this year use his legs to be able to get out of the pocket. I love being able to watch him play, and he's got a bunch of really good weapons to throw the ball to.
So good, so deep. I mean, they're just loaded with weapons, a tight end, receiver. Now they redid the backfield as well. It's going to be fantastic. And by the way, we talk about like he is a full year recovered from the ACL. Everybody recovers on a different timetable. Fine. On Thursday night, we saw Allen Robinson, a full year recovered from a torn ACL. He looked pretty freaking good.
He sure did.
Man. So that guy had one top 18 fantasy week all of last year, and he looks like he's going to have 10 of them this year after that performance.
I'm so excited. So good. All right. So those are a couple quarterbacks that we like. I want to move on really quickly to running backs, Mike, because in DFS, is it similar to season-long fantasy where you want to go out and find that bell cow that is going to just have copious amounts of volume, or is this a place where you try to find value for maybe a little bit of a cheaper player here?
Yeah, don't be afraid to spend on a high floor, high ceiling, high volume running back. Running back is the easiest position to predict in fantasy on a week-to-week basis because, it's important to say week-to-week basis is on the season, the injury rate's so ridiculous. But in season, week-to-week, they're easiest because you can project the touches. You know these guys are going to have the highest number of touches across the position. So that's why a guy like maybe a Saquon Barkley and Ezekiel Elliott, Christian McCaffrey, those guys are guys you can feel secure with and you can spend up some of the money on them. Now, as we're going to get to here, there are also some guys that will benefit from injuries above them on the depth chart and become very much discounted, and you're going to see that almost every week. So it kind of depends on the week, right? If there's not a lot of those, like all the star running backs are healthy and they're priced correctly, it might be harder to jam a bunch of them in. But if one of those guys is out and you can get a cheap handcuff, and again, we're going to get to one of those here in a second, you can maybe take advantage of that and spend up on a receiver. So we'll sort through that on a week-to-week basis. But for now, here in week one, Daniel, I think you can certainly spend on one of the studs.
All right, so let's get into one of the studs. Saquon Barkley at the Dallas Cowboys, priced at $9,000 on DraftKings. It's a $50,000 total budget for your lineup, so this guy's taking up almost 20% of your entire roster. Is that worth it, do you think, from a value standpoint?
I think it is when it's Saquon Barkley, when he's a guy that could put up potentially 30 points, 35 sure. points. I mean, I have him projected over 24. So he's playing at Dallas. He is their offense. Remember, there's no Golden Tate. They're going to be using him a ton. I don't really have to get into his stats from last year. We know how good he was. He was the top scoring fantasy running back. He was near the top in every category. And in the two games against the Cowboys last year, 250 scrimmage yards, including 18 catches. Think about that. 18 catches in two games. That's nine in each. Is that good? Can you check that math for me?
You did that in your head, Mike Clay.
I did.
You were so smart.
Did not even need Excel or a calculator for that one. But anyway, Cowboys allowed 101 RB receptions last season. That was
running back.
Running back. See, you're good
RB
too.
RB
is running back. Yeah. they allowed the fifth most in that category last season. By the way, the Cowboys, this is, I don't just sit around lounging or do, you know, like Marvel movies in the offseason,
oh, sure.
like,
yeah.
or whatever you do. I don't know what you do.
Maybe you should think about doing that. I think it's a lucrative decision.
No,
but...
see, I don't do that. What I do is do research.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, one thing I came across was the fact that, the Cowboys are one of a few teams over, if you have research over like the past decade, that actually give up more points at home than they do on the road. That's a very rare thing to happen. But that happens, you know, in those confines of playing in the dome indoors for the most part in Dallas. So that's something that kind of has sticked year to year for the most part. And so that's interesting as well, and that should benefit the Giants' offense here.
Absolutely. I mean, it's one of the things you're looking for a lot of times is high-scoring games where both offenses are just going to be scoring a ton of points, because that means, obviously, not just for season-long, but then for DFS, there's going to be a lot of points scored from all your players.
Yeah, and the Giants aren't a team we think about as one that's going to score a lot of points, but Saquon Barkley is, because he is the whole offense.
Yep. All right, let's move on to another guy that a lot of people have really liked this year, Nick Chubb, especially with Duke Johnson moving on. Opening up some potential passing game work in that offense. Priced at $6,400 versus the Tennessee Titans at home. What do you like about Nick Chubb this week?
Yeah, Chubb's a guy I was kind of a little bit lower than everyone else throughout the offseason because I'm more worried about the second half when Kareem Hunt comes back and takes away touches, and that could be problematic during the fantasy playoffs. But short term, we love him. Who else is going to touch the ball in that backfield? D'Ernest Johnson? Right? Hilliard? I mean, it should be the Nick Chubb show.
Yeah.
And that's what it was, at least in terms of the running game last season for Cleveland. Once he took over as lead back in week 7, he handled 80% of their design runs and 10% of the targets. And that was with Duke Johnson factored in. He's obviously not there. Chubb should be an outstanding fantasy asset, a top running back in DraftKings scoring and PPR, non-PPR, whatever it is going forward. So we know he's efficient. We know he's effective. And they are at home in this game against Tennessee. They are the favorite, and that tells you that Nick Chubb is going to get the rock most likely in the second half, assuming this game goes according to script. Now, the Titans were good against the run last year, but again, volume is king, and sometimes that supersedes the matchup. That is the case here with Chubb.
Yeah. Chris Carson, $5,700 versus the Cincinnati Bengals. Obviously, we know how much the Seattle Seahawks love to run the football. Rashad Penny has not really separated himself, albeit the high cost that came to that team for last year. Mm-hmm. Chris Carson is still the guy. $5,700, Mike, do you like him this week?
I do. Again, the Seahawks, a pretty heavy favorite at home against the Bengals. He is going to get a ton of opportunities just to run the ball early and often, because this is the run-heaviest offense in the NFL, at least it was last season, and will be near the top here in 2019. Carson, money in terms of volume, especially at the goal line, 9 touchdowns in 14 games last year. 7th in carries at the position, 4th in carries inside the 5, 3rd in carries from the opponent's 1-yard line. So you have excellent opportunity for Carson to find the end zone once or perhaps twice in this game. And by the way, the Bengals last year, man, they were awful against running backs, and they barely invested in it in the offseason.
Yeah.
They might be worse defensively. They were 8th or worst in rushes against, touchdowns against, and this is all just running backs, yards per carry, carries inside the 5, receptions, receiving yards,
wow,
yards per reception.
That's too
you may be able to do this math in your head. They allowed the most fantasy points to running backs last year. Big surprise. Carson set up for a great start.
Wow, that is incredible. So basically, it sounds like anybody that's playing the Bengals this year, you just want to start the running back against them.
At least for now. We'll keep an eye on it. The way the NFL is, you know, they might be the best D in the NFL 4 weeks from now. So
love Chris Carson this week, though, against the Bengals. A couple more guys here. Mark Ingram, $5,100, taking on the Miami Dolphins in Miami. Ingram is always that guy that you're just like, eh. You know, it doesn't make you feel good. It's not a sexy pick. You're not like, all right, I got Mark Ingram in my lineup. But $5,100 is pretty good value here.
Yeah, that's funny to say about a guy who over the past six seasons is first in the NFL in yards per carry, second in yards after contact per attempt among workhorses. Among
Am
guys
I alone
with 650
in feeling
carries.
Like Mark Ingram is just like, whatever, but like he just keeps doing it.
Yeah.
He just does it.
Yeah, and not to mention that he gets all that work at the goal line, second in rushing touchdowns, and first in carries inside the five over the past five seasons. So he's, you know what I mean? He's super efficient and he scores, you know, scores touchdowns. I mean,
yeah.
He's been money. So we'll see how he does on his first new team of his career. He's been on the Saints his entire career. But the Dolphins defense is just a mess. I mean, they're rebuilding. They're giving up solid players to get youngsters in there. And it makes sense for the long term. But I mean, Ingram comes at 5,100. They're at Miami. It's a run heavy offense. He's fresh. It's his first game with the new team after they paid him a lot of money to bring him over. Again, the Dolphins were bad enough against running backs last year. And now they're even worse on paper. He's set up for maybe 20 carries in this game, maybe more.
Yeah. Two more guys at running back here. Austin Eckler, $5,500 versus the Indianapolis Colts at home.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, with no Melvin Gordon, Eckler, even though it's going to be a little bit of a running back by committee with Justin Jackson, the thought is he's going to have the majority of the touches there, even if it's a 60-40 split. He will be the guy featured. You like Austin Eckler taking on the Colts this week?
Yeah, and again, I kind of, I don't know if I articulated it well earlier, but, you know, again, sometimes you want to spend up on workhorses, but almost every week there's going to be a guy like Eckler where the starter's out and the backup is underpriced and set up for a big role. That is the case here for Eckler. And again, you know, he comes at a 5,500. We talked about Barkley at 9,000. I mean, a lot of the top backs are up in that price range. That is a huge discount. And let's talk a little bit about the Eckler-Justin Jackson backfield. It may be a committee. It's possible. Our Eric Williams, who covers the team, has suggested as much. But look at the three games without Melvin Gordon last year. Eckler, 126 snaps. Jackson, 40.
Ooh.
Eckler, 40 carries. Jackson, 17. Eckler, 20 targets in three games. Only four for Justin Jackson. You know, the Colts were good against the run last year, but they did a lot of the second most targets and receptions and the seventh most receiving yards to running backs. We know that's where Eckler is really good. Even when Gordon's there, he does damage as a pass catcher. Eckler has been one of the most efficient running backs in the league since he's been around. Top six in yards per catch and yards per target. You know, just good receiver, effective when he rushes the ball. 5.3 yards per carry, too, in 30 career games. I mean,
that is efficient.
He's been a good player. So even if he's not a 20-touch guy, he's a 12 to 15-touch guy, he can pay off. And at this price, I like him.
Let's pivot ahead and talk about some wide receivers, Mike, and general advice around wide receivers. And again, we're not going to do this general advice every single week. It's just because it's the first podcast here.
Yeah.
But the idea, this is a spot where wide receivers, you know, you can probably get quite a bit of value from some guys that are in that, you know, medium price range that are still going to have high upside and large volume.
Yeah, it's interesting. It kind of depends to me on what running back looks like that week, right? If a lot of top backs are out and you can get some, what, maybe two super nice discounts at running backs. So like maybe this week you were like, I'm in on, Austin Eckler and you want to start Mark Ingram, right? You can get two pretty good discounted backs. You know, then you could spend up on one of the stud running wide receivers that you can rely on. But this week you have a lot of top receivers with really tough matchups and you want to spend up on a guy like a Saquon Barkley or a Nick Chubb. And, you know, the wide receiver pool is so deep that usually you can find a couple values and lock them into your lineup. So I think we have a lot of options here. They're not the flashiest guys. They're not studs, but we're going to load up at other positions. So I think some of these top values here make a lot of sense.
Well, just when you're looking at it, like you had said, some of the top guys this week really do have some really difficult matchups. You know, obviously you look at Odell Beckham Jr., who is dealing with an injury thing that has just come up. You know, should still play this week, but he's priced at $8,100. Julio Jones, obviously there's trying to figure out he should play this week, but he made that comment. I might not play if I don't have a contract. Obviously, Tyreek Hill going up against Jacksonville. That's always been a tough matchup for him.
Yep, Jalen Ramsey shadow coming in that one.
Yep, and then you know, you look at Nuke in Houston, and like that, he's going to have a really tough matchup there too.
Yep, he's on that Monday slate. Yeah, he'll have Lattimore. So if you're playing in a larger slate, for sure, that's a possibility. Yep,
a lot of these top wide receivers, like they just this week, they just happen to draw either some difficult matchups or either injuries or other concerns where it's like maybe you want to play it a little bit safer there. So
yeah, T.Y. Hilton drawing the Casey Hayward shadow. It goes on and on. Cooper against Jenkins, Jeffrey against Norman. I mean, there's a lot of them this week. A
lot of them. So some guys that we really like here, Sterling Shepard, $5,000 against the Dallas Cowboys. Obviously, the Giants offense is basically just Saquon Barkley, Sterling Shepard, and Evan Engram. But even with Saquon being able to get a huge amount of volume, mm-hmm. you still like Sterling Shepard in this matchup.
Yeah, no doubt. Only $5,000. I have him closer to 15 points. He's a solid value here at Dallas. Again, Beckham's gone. Golden Tate's suspended 4 weeks. They have to throw the ball to somebody throwing the ball. It's not just going to be Barkley and Engram. So Shepard is going to be the top guy. Look, he had 10 targets, 67 yards when these teams met last back in week 17. Remember, OBJ was out for that one. And I thought this was kind of interesting. So if you look at the 12 games last year when Beckham played, Shepard's average depth of target was 9.0. And his OTD, or his expected touchdown total during those 12 games, was 4.2. So, you know, that means he's used in the short area a lot. He's not getting a lot of work near the goal line. But in the four games without Beckham to end the season, his average depth of target jumped to 12.8, so a lot more vertical work. He was used on the perimeter more, getting outside targets, and his OTD was 2.1, which extrapolates to a much larger number, close to an expected total of 8 touchdowns over a full game. So that's he could surprise a little in the touchdown area, I think, this season. They have to go to somebody other than Barkley and Engram, and I think Shepard could be the primary targeted wide receiver near the goal line. So, you know, Cowboys really good against receivers last year, but the price is solid here. So I think Shepard is a perfectly fine option at wideout.
Okay. Let's move on to Tyler Boyd, priced at $5,800, taking on the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle. A lot of people were waiting when A.J. Green went out last year, and obviously the Bengals offense is going to be without A.J. Green in week one. Wondering if Tyler Boyd can just take on that wide receiver one role. And surprisingly, he didn't really take a step forward to become that guy. In fact, he was pretty much the same player he was when A.J. Green was either on or off the field. A little bit of variance, both plus and minus there. But still, Tyler Boyd, $5,800, taking on the Seahawks. You like him this week.
Yeah, I do. Again, you mentioned the price, $5,800. I know it's in Seattle, but they're probably going to have to throw the ball again. We expect the Seahawks to win this game, and it should be a pretty good matchup with, you know, A.J. Green was out in the perimeter anyway. Him being out doesn't affect Boyd as much as it would some others, but he's going to get a fourth-round rookie, Ugo Amadi, in coverage. Good name, by the way. I'm not positive if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but I think it's Ugo Amadi. His first name's actually really long, but he goes by the shorter name. But fourth-round rookie this year, he's going to man the slot. Boyd was a breakout player in the league last season. He should have a nice edge. And, I mean, Boyd, man, he missed two games last season. He was still wide receiver 17 in season long. I mean, the guy was terrific. In fact, he was only 11 behind A.J. Green in targets in games they played together. The guy was super efficient, sees plenty of volume in this Bengals offense. And again, they're going to have to throw it. He is their top receiver. At $5,800, he's a good deal here.
Okay. Moving on, we have Marvin Jones at $4,800 at the Arizona Cardinals. Mike, the Arizona Cardinals are literally starting nobodies in their secondary. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but like they've just been so banged up and they didn't have a lot of depth at that position to begin with. So Marvin Jones is a guy that you really like this week based on that matchup.
Yeah, and you can almost throw Kenny Golladay in here if you want to spend up a little bit more. But we're going to talk about Jones because he's cheaper at $4,800. This is a road game for Detroit, but Patrick Peterson is out. Robert Alford is out. He's on IR. Peterson, of course, suspended for 6 weeks. So the corners for Arizona, I mean, two of them have never played an NFL snap, and they're going to play potentially every down in this game. Murphy and Christopher Jones. Another guy is Tremaine Brock, he's 31 now. He's bounced around the league the past couple of years. Kevin Peterson was claimed off waivers from the Rams. They just don't have much there. And, you know, you've probably heard us talk about this on the Fantasy Focus all week because it's just, we have to hammer this home. Yep. Like, it's unreal.
You should start your Lions wide receivers this week.
Yeah, I don't know what on earth they're going to do to stop these guys. Jones mostly lines up on the outside. He's top 15 in average depth of target each of the past three seasons, so you know he's going to get vertical targets against these guys. There's really a lot to like here.
Okay, two more wide receivers here for you. Curtis Samuel, $4,200, taking on the Los Angeles Rams at home. I'll tell you what, there's been a lot of talk this preseason leading up to week one about that Carolina Panthers receiving core. Who's going to be the guy? A lot of buzz around DJ Moore, a lot of buzz around Curtis Samuel. Super excited to see just how that whole thing breaks out in the first place. But $4,200 for Curtis Samuel, going to be the number two pass catcher, we think, in that Carolina offense. You like him this week.
Yeah, Carolina's at home in this one, but still an underdog. They're going to play the high-scoring Rams, so you would expect them to have to throw the ball more than maybe they would ideally do. So, yeah, he comes at a $4,200. You like that value. Samuel, You know, he's yet to be a really consistent, good fantasy wide receiver. It makes you a little bit nervous. He was borderline top 30 last year once he started playing a full-time role in that offense and was lucky in the touchdown department. So guys like this kind of scare me a little bit. But at the same time, he's used as a vertical threat. You know, they use DJ Moore in a Golden Tate sort of role in the short area at the U Samuel downfield. And look, if you look at the Rams offense last season, to wide receivers, they allowed 13.7 yards per catch. That was fifth highest in the league, and 20 touchdowns, seventh most. And again, we don't think about Samuel like this big, towering, dominant downfield presence,
no,
per se, but that's how they used him last year in Carolina. He was kind of that guy to get downfield, especially when Devin Funchess was kind of pulled out of the lineup. So Samuel kind of fits the mold for someone who can beat this Rams defense. And again, the volume should be there. They're going to have to throw the football in this game.
Okay. One more, Mike Clay. I want you to give me just a dart throw sleeper that you really like in tournaments this week, someone that you think could absolutely boom and just have a huge week.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to talk about Chris Conley here, actually the Jags receivers in general. And I was a little scared because a couple days ago, the Jags depth chart came out and Marquise Lee was listed as a starter.
Right.
So luckily, I did talk to Mike DiRocco, who covers Jags for us. He told me that, at least clear technically, he'll probably be active, but they're going to move him along slowly. So we're going to be looking at D.D. Westbrook in the slot, who actually is the toughest matchup here against the Chiefs. Kendall Fuller, terrific slot corner. He's going to cover him. But on the outside, it gets really interesting because you have Chris Conley, the newcomer, who Nick Foles apparently likes a lot. There's some smoke there for sure. We'll keep an eye on that.
Okay.
Kind of an end-of-bench season long guy as well. And then D.J. Chark, who's in his second season.
Big guy.
Big,
fast.
You covered it. I don't
Can't
know why
teach
I'm here.
That.
You
yeah.
got it.
Yeah.
You got it. He's going to probably play as well. So, both of those guys are interesting. They're going to face Bashaud Breeland, who's filling in for Maurice Claiborne, and Charvarius Ward, who played a little bit last season. The Chiefs clearly have a bit of an issue on the perimeter. Conley is probably going to be their number one perimeter corner in this game, or perimeter receiver in this game. The Jags are at home. They're going to have to keep up with the Chiefs. He could see 7-8 targets in this game for sure. And he's only $3,100. So Conley and Chark, both cheap, both fine flyer options. These are the kind of guys you want in tournament lineups, guys that can win you the league because they're going to have such low ownership. That's what you want in tournaments. You want guys that could hit and have low ownership, and I don't think many people are going to have one Chris Conley and one DJ Chark in their lineups, especially considering, Daniel, they were pretty much undrafted in every league all offseason.
Right, right. Mike, it is time to celebrate because football is finally back and DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy football, has huge week one contests. We're trying to get you set up for that right now. The first one starts on Thursday night when the Chicago Bears and Green Bay Packers kicked off the season in a single game showdown with $2.5 million in total prizes up for grabs. Draft your single game single game showdown lineup and feel the sweat like never before. It's simple. Just draft six players from the season opener, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Plus, new users who sign up at DraftKings.com/FFF will receive a free shot at the $1 million top prize. Nothing adds to the sweat of watching the game quite like having a shot at $1 million payday. So, kick off your season the right way. Head to DraftKings.com/FFF right now. And for a limited time, all new and existing users can get a deposit bonus up to $500. Plus, new users who sign up at DraftKings.com/FFF will get a free shot at the $1 million top prize with your first deposit. That's DraftKings.com/FFF for all new and existing users to claim your special offer only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Deposit bonus requires a 25 times playthrough. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. All right, Mike, we're going to keep moving on here. I'll tell you what, we're at the tight end position now, and this is one of those spots where it just feels like there's a couple of names right off the top that it's like, boy, I want those Travis Kelce's, or I want that, you know, George Kittle's. Obviously, in season long, those are the guys that you are trying to target. But I'm curious, general advice on tight ends. Obviously, it's all about roster construction and price points, but what is it that you're looking at when you're looking at tight end when you're filling out a lineup?
Yeah, I'm usually going to be more aggressive with game planning at the other positions, right? So I'm looking for the discount at running back. Receiver will depend on, again, we mentioned before, kind of who's out among the stud backs, if you can get values there. Of course, receiver, you're looking for some discount. So by the time I'm done those three spots, I'm like, all right, what do I have left here? You know, we'll get to defense in a minute. I'll see if, I can get a discount on someone we're going to talk about here, maybe the Tennessee Titans tight end, for example,
ooh,
or if I have a lot of cash left and maybe I could spend up on a stud who, you mentioned him.
Oh, Travis Kelce.
Yeah, that's him. He's 7,100.
All right, taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars this week. That Jaguars defense doesn't scare you when it comes to that price point of Travis Kelce in week one?
No, it's not too exorbitant. You know, 7,100, we talked about Saquon Barkley before at 9,000.
Yeah.
You know, certainly we like him to score more points, but, you know, the Chiefs, even at Jacksonville, and I mean, if they're going to stumble this year, it'd probably be in their first game of the year playing at this Jags defense.
Sure.
But Kelce, we know, is still going to be featured and could push for 7 to 9 targets for sure. So this is the top scoring fantasy tight end each of the past three seasons. He's coming off a career year. We know he's going to be huge in this game. And by the way, the Jags defense was still very dominant last year in a lot of categories, shutting down quarterbacks and receivers. But they allowed 8 touchdowns to tight ends. That was 7th most. So, you know, it's a very similar dynamic for that team.
And Kelce knows how to score touchdowns.
Again, this year. Yeah, yeah, he definitely does. 10 last year. I believe he had 8 or 9 the year before. So, no doubt, he's always a candidate to find the end zone. And I think you can certainly plug him into your lineup.
All right, if you don't want to spend up at tight end, you sort of alluded to this. Delanie Walker, $3,500, taking on the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland. I mean, the guy is like as old as Matthew Berry is, but still, he's out there and he's productive, which is, I guess he's like the anti-Matthew from that standpoint. But you love Delanie Walker, $3,500, really good price point this week.
Yeah, first of all, Matthew getting way too much play in the show.
Oh, you're right.
You got to cut back on that sure. But yeah, Delanie is $3,500. So if you want to save some money, maybe you spend up you want to get a stud receiver in there instead of, I don't know, one of the other guys we were talking about earlier, like a Sterling Shepard, for example.
Sure.
That's fine. Maybe you want to do that and then go with a discount tight end. So Delanie Walker playing at Cleveland. Look, this guy has been money in fantasy for a long time. He was injury plagued last year, but before that, 3 consecutive top 5 fantasy campaigns was always a reliable option in DFS as well, especially in cash games. Look, and speaking of high floors, you know, in the 4 seasons prior to last year, he finished no lower than 9th at tight end in targets, receptions, and receiving yards. And by the way, the Browns really struggled against tight ends last year. Number 1 in pass routes and targets against, number 2 in receptions allowed, top 10 in yards, touchdowns, and fantasy points. Again, the same linebackers are back. The secondary is a little bit different, but I think Walker is going to be a high-volume player in this offense, and at $3,500, he's a good value.
Yeah, normally there's a concern whenever Marcus Mariota is the guy throwing you the football, but Delanie Walker just does not have that same kind of concerns with that quarterback play there. So you can spin him up. Mike, we're going to go through 2 names for both players that you like at, you know, some other good values and 2 other players that maybe you want to avoid. So I'm going to open up the floor to you. You've obviously got your algorithms and everything you got spinning in those the gears in your brain and whatnot there. Give me 2 other guys that you like to have good values this week.
Yeah, I think Cole Beasley's an under-the-radar guy playing at the Jets at $3,600. You know, I think in cash games, he's a guy to look at. Honestly, tournaments at that price, if he catches 8 footballs in this game, could pay off. So he's a guy to consider. And by the way, Jacoby Brissett was priced before Andrew Luck retired. So
yeah.
He's some of the other slates that are going on this week, he's higher. But in their main slate, where you're playing the Millionaire Maker and some other contests, he's only at $4,400. So if you want to really go cheap at quarterback and spend up elsewhere and hope that he has to throw a lot of passes at the Chargers, you can do that. He's only $4,400.
The one thing to think about there, if you go Jacoby Brissett, you're probably not going to be able to, or you wouldn't prefer to stack him with any of
Jack
those
Doyle.
Colts wide receivers. You like Jack Doyle?
I would say Jack Doyle. If you want to stack him in a tournament, I would try Doyle because he got 80 passes with Brissett 2 years ago.
And just in case you are still listening to this point, and obviously you're new to DFS, if you're not, then I apologize for doing this, but like a stack is where you make sure that you're rostering a quarterback and a pass catcher. So if Jacoby Brissett throws a touchdown to Jack Doyle, you're getting 2 touchdowns on that play. All the points, everything. A lot of times in tournament plays, you're always looking to be able to stack a quarterback with a pass catcher.
Yeah, that's super important because if you just have the quarterback who threw 6 touchdowns that week, that's great. It's going to help you maybe win $20. But if you want to win the whole thing, you need the guy that's catching the passes too. You need to have a piece of that breakout game for whatever offense it is. So no doubt, you definitely want a guy like Doyle.
Speaking of guys that throw 6 touchdowns every week, Patrick Mahomes, $7,200 at the Jaguars. You're staying away from Mahomes this week.
Yeah, there's a few players to avoid, I think, from this game, right? I have Mahomes, $7,200 at Jacksonville. We know he's terrific, but he's going to have a down game. It's probably going to be this one. I would throw the running backs in here as well. Damian Williams is $6,300. That's too much to spend there, especially with LeSean McCoy added to the mix. But again, he's at $4,600 because he was priced when he was on the Bills. So that's a little too much here for a guy who's going to start out as a backup at Jacksonville. So, yeah, that the Chiefs offense, for the most part, I would probably stay away from.
All right, Mike, the time has come. We are going to set lineups to be able to go against ourselves. Obviously, if you guys want to join this league, you can join it. Follow at Mike Clay NFL and at Daniel Dopp. We will tweet out a link to be able to get in, and you can play in a free DFS tournament against us. Mike, give me your DraftKings lineup for week one.
No, you give me yours first.
All right, fine. I'll give you mine first. All right.
I'm going to copy yours.
I'm going to go quarterback. Quarterback, $6,000. I'm taking Lamar Jackson.
All right.
I love Lamar. The idea that from that standpoint, projected from that price point, to I need him to at least beat 18 points. I love what he's going to do with his rushing ability. Miami does not scare me from that standpoint. Lamar Jackson, I think, is good value based on the picks with everything that you have set up. And so I love Lamar. I wasn't able to really find a stack for him that I really liked, but with his rushing ability, I'm all in on Lamar Jackson week one.
Yeah, and we're going to have, in this league, we're going to have about 200 people. So there's no prize for being first. So
other
we're just trying
just
to beat
beating us.
We're really just trying to beat each other. So this is essentially a cash game lineup. We're going head to head here.
Yep.
Try and beat each other. So nothing wrong with that. So
all right. Okay. Who do you like at quarterback this week? Who you
I have, and we kind of broke down all these players, so I don't have to get 2-0, but I'm going to go with Dak. We talked about him at the top of the show. Great matchup at home against the Giants.
Okay, for my running backs, I'm rolling with Saquon Barkley and Kerryon Johnson. Obviously, Saquon with that $9,000 price tag. That's a lot, but like you said, he's going to get a ton of volume. I am not worried about that. Kerryon against the Arizona Cardinals. I love him. $5,800. The Cardinals, that defense is just going to surrender yards. Hopefully they surrender a lot of touchdowns too. I like Kerryon Johnson. I think he's going to take another step forward this year. This is not just a Homer Lions pick. I think that he has good value here. So that's where I'm going with my two running backs.
Yeah, no, I'm fine with that for sure. And something we're going to be talking about all year is that matchup against the Cardinals is probably going to mean a lot of volume for the opposing offenses because they're going to run so fast offensively. Think about the Chip Kelly days, of course, in Philly, that there's going to be so much pressure on that defense, a lot of plays again. So I don't dislike that for sure. I have Barkley as well, so we'll offset those in our showdown.
Sure.
Here, I have Nick Chubb. We talked about him. I'm going to use him at home against Tennessee. And of course, I'm going to save some money here. I'm going to go with the lead back for the Chargers, for now, at least until a holdout you may have heard about ends.
Wow.
I'm going to go with Austin Ekeler here. I have him scoring around 17 points at only 5,500. I love that.
Okay. I'll tell you what, we're going to have a little bit of overlap because I have Austin Ekeler in my flex as well. All right.
Oh, okay.
I'm interested to see how this works out. All right. Next up, wide receivers. I have three wide receivers that I've chosen. My wide receivers are Tyler Boyd taking on the Seattle Seahawks. I have Tyler Lockett taking on the Bengals at $6,000 and DeeDee Westbrook operating out of the slot against the Jacksonville Jaguars. All have good or great matchups based on the NFL DFS picks for week one that you can find behind ESPN Plus at ESPN.com. So make sure you go check that out. Mike, where are you going with your wide receivers this week?
Tyler Boyd. So we're offsetting there as well. Okay. Sterling Shepard. We talked about him with the Giants playing at Dallas. And then we're going to be keeping an eye on this Jags game, right? Because you have DeeDee Westbrook. I'm going to go with Chris Conley. I'm going to save a few bucks, go cheap there, only $3,100. It's going to allow me to spend up at other positions.
Okay. I am taking on Evan Engram at my tight end, $4,800 there. Where are you going at tight end, Mike?
I'm going with the man, Travis Kelce. I'm going to go with the best on the board at the tight end position. He's going to cost me a few bucks, but I know I can count on him for a super high floor.
Okay, and then for my defense, I definitely went bargain here. Taking on the 49ers to hopefully beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I watched the Buccaneers just not be able to protect Jameis Winston throughout the preseason with Nick Bosa and that pass rush. 49ers defense has a lot of holes. Do not get me wrong. But the idea that they could get some sacks, maybe force a fumble or two, or have a bad, you know, a bad throw by Jameis Winston, get a pick or two.
Going with the Niners?
I'm going with the Niners.
So am I, actually.
Oh, well, yeah, basically are just copying everything that I'm doing here.
Yeah, I am. I don't know about that. You know that board you're talking about that you're using? Mm-hmm. Who does that? Who compiles that?
I don't know who does that.
Yeah, I'm with you on the Niners. I'm pretty conservative with defensive projections, especially early in the season. It's very hard to predict. Interceptions, for example. The Niners were very bad in that last year, only two interceptions. But I like streaming at this spot. In season long, and I'm going to do it in DFS if a matchup presents itself. It does here against Jameis Winston, who has more interceptions than games played in his career. So I like that. It's just the fact that he's injury prone is a great target. By the way, especially in a tournament setting, I think that the Niners are a good contrarian play because a lot of people, I think, are going to take Tampa at home against the Niners.
Ooh.
Whereas you would jump on the opposite, the 49ers. And I thought that's actually where you were going to go. So
interesting.
That would have been nice to go head-to-head in that game.
Yeah, I could have done that. I did not do that. I'm excited to see how many points I beat you by this week. Definitely join the league. We're going to have some fun with that. Mike, this was a blast. Thank you for doing this with me. We're going to come back, do this every single week. Next week, Al Zeidenfeld is going to join us for part of the show to be able to break down some of his DFS picks for week two. But for Mike Clay, that's you.
That is me.
And Daniel Dopp, which is me. And
Thirsty
Kyle working on the board. Thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you next week.
He's a brainiac, brainiac. He's Mike Clay.
Okay.